This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 45 of our series, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in our last episode, we were talking about the question, does Islam oppress women? And we looked at where women were in other societies, in the Jahiliyyah society, in the Persian, Eastern societies versus the Christian, Jewish societies. And then we looked at what Islam offered women. And we said many societies at the time, 1,500 years ago, they saw her as someone that was subhuman, that was evil, that was spiritually deficient than a man, that she was something that was a commodity to be used and bought and sold. She had no power over herself or property, and she was purely at the whims of men. Then we saw Islam came about, and we began by saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her by, number one, making her spiritually equal to men, that her purpose on life is the same as that of men, and that her position with Allah is the same with that of men. Then we mentioned in terms of the Sharia, in terms of the law, if you lived in an Islamic state, the Sharia gave women rights that were far beyond its time, literally 1,000 years ahead of its time. We said that, subhanAllah, in the modern Western world, which is taken today as the benchmark, as the be-all and end-all when it comes to women's rights, we begin to see how far behind the Western society was compared to the Muslim Sharia, Islamic Sharia, up until recent times. For example, and you know, I've provided a list of laws that came into effect, certain rights that were given to women in Europe versus the Sharia. So for example, in 1869 was the very first time women were allowed to attend Cambridge University. Compare that to Islam. In 859, meaning a full 1,000 plus years before that, the first university on earth was established by a woman. So 1,000 years before women could even attend universities in England, women were already establishing universities in the Muslim world. We said 1870, the first time women were allowed to really own property and own things in her own name without being married or owned by her husband, her father. We said, of course, that in Islam, from inception, a woman was always, what she received of inheritance, what she earned with her money, belonged to her completely. Something very strange, subhanAllah. In 1820, the very first time women were allowed to practice law and accountancy. Now, as an accountant, I find that quite amusing that it has only been 100 years that women were allowed to be accountants in the Western world. Now we compare that to the Muslim world. So in the European world, women were not capable, were seen as competent enough to deal with legal matters. Islam, we gave the very first Mus'haf, the very first Quran. It was entrusted to Hafsa, our mother, the wife of the Prophet Hafsa, the daughter of Sayyidina Umar. She was the custodian of the Mus'haf. People, the Khalifa would come to her, like Sayyidina Uthman came to her and said, look, you are the custodian of the only Quran, the only written Quran on earth. We trust it with you. Can we please borrow it and make copies? SubhanAllah. That is how much we honored and entrusted our women. We said that women were only really allowed to vote less than 100 years and be part of certain government positions. It's not even been 100 years that women were allowed to be on ministerial roles in many parts of Europe. We said that Aisha radiallahu anha, from the earliest days, more than 1,500 years ago, she was in charge of an entire army. Now, subhanAllah, these laws, we don't know these things, and we begin to assume that Islam, you know, is the reason and the cause for pushing women to the back, and that Islam is the reason that she is unable to further herself and she is in fact neglected. This is not the Sharia. Whatever we see, and without a doubt within Muslim society, within Muslim countries, we see women are definitely being neglected. So I can say, alhamdulillah, with full surety, as a father of a daughter, as a son to a mother, as a husband to a wife, brother to a sister, that Islam and the Sharia does not at all oppress women, rather it liberates women. But if the question were to be asked, do Muslims oppress their women? Then in here, I'm not so sure. In this situation, we find that, subhanAllah, sadly, we as Muslim men, have not fulfilled the amana that Allah has entrusted us with. We have not fulfilled the laws of the Sharia and given our sisters the position that they rightfully deserve. And in fact, it is so sad when we think that the very last advice that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave gave to us. The very, very last thing he said, not even don't commit shirk, not even anything else except as-salah, as-salah, wa ma malakat aymanukum. Take care of salah and look after your women. This was his last advice to his ummah. And very sadly, we must admit as men that we have fallen short. How is it that when we look at the different ulama councils, fatwa committees, we don't find a single sister on the board? Many masajid, subhanallah, she's not even entrusted to be on the board of the masjid. What about the time of the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when women had the highest authority, when women were entrusted, subhanallah, to keep the only mushaf in the world? It's in the hands of Hafsa. So we have gone backwards, not the Sharia. And that is why an important area of discussion is how we as men should treat our women. This is something so, so important. This is something that if any blame is to be put on Islam in terms of the treatment of women, it is, wallahi, Allah is free of any blame. The Sharia has no blame. The Hadith, the Quran is free of any blame. It is miles ahead of every system on earth. But the blame lies with the Muslim men. And it's them not returning to the book and the command of Allah and the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we see the sexism, we see this oppression of women within our community. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding and grant us to live up to that level of true manliness in our Islam tests us as men in terms of how we treat our women. As Allah says, "Ar-rijal qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa," that a true man, a man is the one that actually looks after and cares for his women folk. This is really what it means to be a man. And we have fallen short of that mark. And it's not us that have taken the blame, rather our deen has taken the blame. So we're doing a great disservice to Islam. We know from the Sharia, if we look at the Quran, we look at the many, many advices Allah has given us. Allah says in the Quran in terms of male and female relationships, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Oh, you who believed, do not... it is haram for you to inherit women against her will." That this was of course a practice in Jahiliyyah, an evil practice that Allah has forbidden. Women were not allowed to be inherited. Then Allah says, and do not make difficult life with them. If you are married to your wife, I'm currently sitting with a number of marriages where people complain, and many times it's the sister who is being mistreated and she's crying and she's miserable in her marriage. Oh brother, oh husband, Allah says to you, and don't make difficult for your wives, make life so unbearable so that you can take back that which you have given in terms of a dowry, so that you can financially harm her. Except, of course, in the case where she has committed clear immorality. If your wife has done a major, major sin, she's been unfaithful, in that case, of course, then separate from her. And then Allah says to me, to you, to every single person, and Allah addresses this to the men. Allah says specifically to the men, وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and live with them in ma'roof. Ma'roof is kindness. Ma'ruf is justice. Ma'ruf is, it comes from arafa, that which is known, that which is recognized commonly, what is reasonable. Allah is saying, live with them in a way that is accepted by all as being good, in a manner which is pleasing to everyone. Live with her in a manner that is fair, that is kind, that is just. This is how you should live. And if you are in a marriage and you are treating your wife in a certain way, you are burdening her with certain things, and vice versa, oh sisters, perhaps your husband is the one who is taking the short end of the stick here, you need to always ask yourself, is this ma'ruf? Is this relationship that we have, this arrangement, whether it is the financial chores, whether it is the domestic chores, whether it is the children, is this ma'roof? Is this fair between the two of us? So Allah commands you and me, live in the ma'roof with one another. And then Allah says this beautiful thing, oh brothers. And again, the ayah is addressed to the men, but of course by implication to the sisters as well. But Allah has, in the Quran you'd find certain laws, Allah addresses it to the men, and certain laws He addresses it to the women. Even though it applies to both. But Allah specifically mentions a certain group here, because they would be the ones that are sometimes deficient in that regard. So Allah says to the men, and if you were to hate something in her, if you were to dislike something, if you dislike your wife for whatever reason, then consider perhaps asa. Perhaps you dislike something and Allah has put in that thing many, many good things in it. That you don't see the good sides of it. All you can see are the negatives. So before you want to be harsh with her, before you want to separate from her, before you want to ill-treat her, think about it. Allah must have put many, many good qualities in her, but you are not able to see that. And perhaps you are disliking that which Allah has made something good for you. So this is how Allah, Allah speaks to us, how we should treat the wife that we hate, that we dislike. Subhanallah. kindness, care, concern. Think about the good sides. What about a wife that is faithful, that is good to you, that pleases you? How then do we mistreat them, subhanAllah? Even in divorce, even when we have gotten to the point where we can't live with each other and then we're going to separate from each other, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us that فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ, that either keep her in kindness, remain married to her on a good way, in a way that will make her happy, in a way that will be pleasing to both of you, or if you can't do that, then leave her, separate from her, bil ma'roof, also in a nice way, in a kind way, in a respectful, honorable way. Separate with her, even in divorce, you be good to her in a nice way. And Allah says very clearly to us, وَلَا تُمْسِكُهُنَّ دِرَارًا لِتَعْدُلُوا, and don't keep her, like as a form of oppression. Do not keep her to harm her. This is the wrong thing, that we should never do that. Our wives and our husbands, they should never for a moment think to themselves, my life would be so much better without this man, without this wife. And the minute we think like that, then we as partners should really have a deep introspection in how we are living with one another. There are many of us, as I said, we go through difficult times. SubhanAllah, during the holiday period, many of these problems arise. Ask yourself all the time, what is it for my wife to be married to me? Meaning, what does she get out of living with me as a husband? If her life was better off without me in it, then subhanAllah, what have I really contributed to her well-being? And similarly, oh sisters, if your husband needs to think to himself, my life would be so much better without this woman in my life, then subhanAllah, you need to think very, very hard and clear what it means for you to be as a wife. A lady comes to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asking for advice, and he says to her, do you have a husband? She says, yes, I have a husband. So the Prophet says, look to how you treat him. Be very careful how you treat your husband, because he is both your Jannah and your Jahannam. Meaning he is the one that if you please him and you do your duties as a wife, almost guaranteed you'll go to Jannah. And if you were a good woman but a bad wife, then it could be the reason why you enter Jahannam. Similarly, the Prophet says to you and me, O men, that I have not left a greater fitna for the men of my ummah than women. And usually when we think of this hadith, we imagine the Prophet is talking about fitna in terms of the beautiful women out there that might tempt us into zina. Yes, that's one interpretation. But the women that we should really worry about, it isn't the woman that's on the side of the road or the woman that is not dressed appropriately. Rather, we should worry about the woman that is there next to us in our house. We should worry about how we treat our daughters and our mothers and our sisters, because their testimony for us or against us will count very, very severely on the day of Qiyamah. That if our wives are the ones that testify against us as harming them, as taking their rights, that we were in fact oppressors and tyrants, then subhanAllah, this would be a means, may Allah protect us, that we do not enter Jannah. So be very careful in that fitna, that test, in terms of that is your wife, that is your mother, is your sister. Of course, also in this relationship between us men and women, there is a great possibility and chance for us to enter the highest levels of Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ says, the most complete believer, the man who has the greatest level of Iman, are those who have the best character. And the best of them, meaning the best of the best, is the one who treats his wives the best, is best to his wife. He did not say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best man is the one who makes the most tahajjud, or pays the most charity, or does the most amount of hajj. Rather, it is the one who has the best character, and in particular, the one who treats his wife the best. Why the wife? Because subhanAllah, she is the one that sees him in every mood and situation. It's easy being, you know, the nice guy when you come to work, smiling with your friends and your colleagues, smiling with, you know, the neighbor. But 2-3 o'clock in the morning, when you are moody and miserable, when things are not going so well, can you still maintain your akhlaq, your adab, your good character, even at that point in time? A man who can do that, the Prophet ﷺ says to us, he has the highest level of iman, subhanAllah, something to aspire to, oh my brothers. That wife that is sitting next to you now, she could be the ticket for you to enter Jannah. Not, you know, without having to do great acts of ibadah, just pleasing her and being honorable to her and being good to her might be the means by which you enter Jannah. Ameen. The Prophet ﷺ says to the sisters, should I not tell you about the women of Jannah? What is the quality of a woman that will enter Jannah? He says, a woman of Jannah, she is one that when she is upset with her husband or her husband is upset with her, she will go to him, you know, before she goes to bed, and she takes her hand into his hand and she says, what can I do to make you happy? Because I don't want to sleep with you angry with me. SubhanAllah, he says, this is a quality of a woman of Jannah. Sisters, your husbands will upset you. Brothers, your wives will upset you. Be the better person, not for her, not for him, for the sake of Allah. Because that person, at that moment, you might feel, you know, not so nice towards that person, and you don't want to do your duty towards them, and you don't want to be the good husband, because maybe it's justified. But when in those moments, be the better person for the love of Allah, because He will give you something better, and you will earn your Jannah through that. The Prophet ﷺ says to you, O men, would you not like me to tell you what is the greatest treasure in the dunya? The best thing you could possibly have, the best thing of the iman, is a righteous woman who, when you look at her, she pleases you. That she preserves your honor when you're away. She's dignified towards you. She acts, and a woman that acts in accordance with what you have requested of her. If you have a woman that does these things, then you have, as the Nabi says, the greatest commodity on earth. There's nothing better than that of the iman. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says to the sisters that if you were to perform your 5 daily salahs and you fasted in the month of Ramadan and you guarded your chastity and your husband was pleased with you at the point when you passed away, not that he's happy at you dying, rather that when you died in a state where he was pleased with you, that he says this was a good woman, then it will be said to you, O sisters, enter whichever of the 8 doors of Jannah you choose. Any door of Jannah is for you. Just perform salah, fast in Ramadan, guard your chastity, and please your husband, subhanAllah. That is what we should aspire to achieve between husbands and wives, between, you know, men and women. This relationship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us in pairs. He made us from the day we were created. Allah meant for us to be in halves. We will have certain characters, certain ways as husbands, as men. Allah made us from that which is dead, the earth, that which was dirt really. And then He made our mother Hawa from something alive, from our father Adam's rib, made her alive. And in that you will find differences in the way a man thinks and the way the man operates, and different to the way the woman thinks and the way she operates. But in the union of husband and wife, and, you know, looking at the best of our qualities, that is perfection. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. And for those of us who are married, alhamdulillah, always remember that our responsibility in the dunya is to look after each other, to be partners with each other, so that we can be united in Jannah with one another. As I said before, there is nothing in the Sharia that I have found where one person can be elevated to another station of Jannah simply because of them being together. So we said that, you know, if you choose a good wife or a good husband, and even though you have not fulfilled all the responsibilities that you were supposed to do in terms of a Muslim, but you get to Jannah, your wife, your husband gets a higher place in Jannah, it will be allowed for you to be elevated, to be upgraded, to be with him or with her in Jannah. In our Sharia, we don't have this thing, till death do you part. Rather, the only thing really, subhanAllah, this is an amazing thing, when we die, we leave this dunya, we won't find our car in Jannah, we won't find our house in Jannah, we won't find anything of this dunya in Jannah. The only thing that is worthy of Jannah is that pious husband, that pious wife that lived with you, that, you know, encouraged you to be a good person. You'd find this person with you in Jannah. So when you look at your wife, your husband, really you're looking at, inshallah, a jannati, a piece of heaven on earth if you want that. This is, subhanAllah, what Allah is saying to us. This is what Allah subhanAllah is telling us. And we pray, inshallah, that if we correct the way we treat each other, both husbands and wives, it's not just about the husbands, also many wives mistreat their husbands, then this issue of how Islam treats women, it will go away. And people should really look, what we want in the time to come, when people look at the way Muslims treat their women, husbands treat their wives, how we treat, not just in terms of marriage, but in terms of how we treat our female employees, how we treat her in society, women as scholars, when the outsiders look at us, they should say, we wish our society treated us like they did. Today, that's not the case. And we should have a deep introspection, reflection, why that is. We all have mothers, daughters, sisters, wives. Let each of us treat the women in our life according to the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Look after your women folk. Let us fulfill that amana. And inshallah, we hope that we'll see the stigma disappear with time. Thank you so much. Jazakallah khair. We'll continue in our next episode. We'll discuss some of the more controversial issues pertaining to women and Islam. There are certain laws that are specific to women that we might find strange. You know, why does the Sharia allow this? Why does the Sharia not allow this? There are certain differences which favor men and certain differences which favor women. We'll talk about this, inshallah, in our coming last 5 or 4 episodes. For any specific questions, concerns, comments, wismuhammad@gmail.com. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.